Would you pray with me? Father God, our Lord, you are a good, good Father. It is who you are. And we are so loved by you. And we feel your love because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see, hear, and feel Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let me start with a question. Are you feeling helpless? This past week, I had a call from a friend pastor who confided in me that it's been a really tough week because he had to lay off 3/4 of his staff team. He said, "Victor, it was really hard. It was really hard. I know everyone is having a hard time, but it weighed heavily on me seeing my staff members go." Are you feeling helpless? Maybe some of you know somebody, maybe it's you yourself, who has been laid off, and you feel their helplessness. Can you relate to them? My wife and I belong to a house church in Rutherford. So house church is a tangible community of God's people at Mosaic House Church. We gather together over a meal, and we eat together, we do life together, we pray together. But one thing that we really emphasize on is the sense of community, because Jesus says, don't just believe about me, but belong with me and belong my people. So we get together, but because of the physical, not social, physical distancing, we had to confine ourselves to using the Zoom meetings, right? And one of our participants said, you know, a relative of ours contracted the COVID-19 virus. And he's an elderly person with underlying medical conditions, health conditions, and things aren't looking well. I wonder if he's feeling helpless. I wonder if his family is feeling helpless. So today we're going to focus on this. What does Jesus do when we feel helpless? We are in the series called Who is This Man Jesus? The Gospel of Christ according to Mark. We're going through the book of Mark and we are asking this question, who is this man? And as I read the text, which is from Mark chapter 2, I want to introduce to a man who is feeling this helplessness. Let's receive God's word. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The background is this. In chapter 1, Jesus went around healing people. He is known as the miracle worker, and he's casting out demons, setting people free. And then we come to chapter 2, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. What did he preach? He preached the word. I'll come back to that. Verse 3. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Did you catch that? It doesn't say they lowered the man who was lying on a mat. They lowered the mat the man was lying on. I'll come back to that too. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let's read that verse together. Verse 5. This is the key verse that unpacks the whole story in one voice. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 6. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me tell you about the paralytic. Do you think he was feeling helpless? I think John Ortberg really captures it well when he writes, his whole life is lived on a mat 3 feet wide and 6 feet. Someone has to feed him, carry him, clothe him, move him to keep him from being covered with bed sores. Someone has to clean him when he soils himself. He will never know the sense of independence we prize so fiercely. Nothing can be done medically. No surgeries, no rehab programs, no treatment centers. There is no way to contribute to society. Anyone in this man's condition has to go through life as a beggar, be laid by the side of road, be dependent on people dropping coins beside him to live just another day. Did you catch that? This man's life is defined by the mat on which he has to lie. Can you relate to this man about his helplessness? And I wonder if he can relate to your helplessness. Friends, I find the Bible so relevant, and that's because the Bible addresses our needs, our longings. And the Bible does that because the author of it, the Holy Spirit of God, he knows what you and I are going through. So here's the big idea, the theme and the goal of this morning's message is this. And write these words in your sermon outline. When you feel helpless, Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for. When you're feeling helpless, Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, He gives you more, what? More hope than what you ask for. And I want to unpack that in three ways. Number one, He does so by healing you from the deadliest virus. Write that word. He does so by healing you from the deadliest virus. Let me read verse 5 again, the key sentence here, key verse. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, pause there. Don't you find this really remarkable, interesting, or even confusing? I wonder if the man was saying, excuse me, Jesus, I thought you are a miracle worker. I came here to be healed of my body, of my physical need. I want you to meet my physical needs. I didn't come here to confess my sins, you see. And I wonder if that's what everybody else was thinking. Now, hang on here. What he needs the most today is to be healed of the virus of his paralysis. He needs physical healing. And Jesus' response is, son, your sins are forgiven. He's talking about his spiritual needs, the soul needs, soul healing, spiritual healing. I think this is what Jesus is driving at. We are so concerned about our immediate needs, physical needs, material needs, financial needs, even emotional needs. And Jesus is saying, Victor, I know what your needs are, and they are real. But I need you to know that you have a greater need. You want to be healed of the virus of the paralysis? Jesus says to the man. But let me tell you, I want to heal you of that. But more than that, I want to give you more hope than what you ask for. I want you to be healed of the deadliest virus, something far worse than the virus of your paralysis. The Bible calls this virus, the deadliest virus of them all, is the virus of sin. Yes, write that word, sin, S-I-N. And here's a working definition of sin. I define sin as ego, E-G-O. It stands for edging God out. The worst sin ever is not lying or stealing. The worst sin ever is edging God out. God is your creator, and he created you, and he wants you to live in a personal, ongoing, loving relationship with himself. But what do we do? What have we done? What have I done? I edged God out. And so have you done the same thing. It's like, God, I don't want you in my life. When it comes to my identity, who I am, when it comes to my security, how I feel about today and tomorrow and about the future, and what I feel about my destiny, I want to define them all. I want to be defined by myself as to who I am. I don't want you to do that. What am I doing? I'm edging God out. I don't want to rely on your security. I don't want you to provide. I don't want you to provide for me. I don't want to depend on you. I want to depend on myself. I want to build my own security. I'm edging God out. And when it comes to destiny, I want to live for myself. Everybody else here is to make me look good, make me happy. The world, the life itself is here for me. I'm edging God out because in reality, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for the Creator. I am here. I exist. I breathe air in my lungs so that I may bring glory to him and please him. That is my destiny. But instead, I edge God out. And friends, the result of this virus of sin, the Bible defines it this way. It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 25, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, many of us have asked the question, where did COVID-19 virus come from? I can tell you this, God did not create it. The Bible says, everything God created is good. Every good and perfect is from God. Who created the COVID-19 virus? We did. When we committed ego, edging God out, the ultimate sin, ultimate virus, it created havoc in our world. Things aren't supposed to be like this. We aren't supposed to experience pain, suffering, sin, and death. But because of our ego, now the Bible also calls this the original sin. Because of it, we have contaminated the entire creation of God, the entire world. We are responsible for all the havoc and suffering in our life. Now, let me also add this. What the man, the paralyzed man, what he thought he needed the most was the physical healing. And yet Jesus says, I'm going to give you physical healing, but more than that, I'm going to give you more hope than what you ask for. I'm going to heal you of this deadly disease. St. Augustine said, this ego sin, it creates a hole in our heart. And we are restless, and we are trying to fill this hole with everything else. With money, with fame, with recognition, with identity. And yet, nothing can fill it all except the love of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Second point. When you feel helpless, Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for by adopting you as a child of God. Write these words, adopting you as a child of God. Jesus addressed the paralytic, calling him son. But in the Greek word, actually is technon. Can you say that for me? Technon, yes, technon. Mark could have used half a dozen different Greek words to call him a child of God, but instead he chose this unique Greek word, technon. It means, and write these words, a child living in full dependence on the Heavenly Father. And that's how the Bible authors use that word, technon. Anyone, if you and I, we fully live on the dependence of God as our Heavenly Father, that's when God calls you technon. Friends, everyone, regardless of age, ethnicity, backgrounds, everyone has been created by in the image of God. Yes, you have been made in the image of God. I have been made in the image of God. Everyone. However, remember this, you have to be adopted into the family of God to be called a technon. We are all image bearers of God, but not all of us are declared technon of God. We have to be adopted by Jesus Christ to be called a technon, a child of God. And I just find this really comforting. I picture, imagine God the Father embracing you and me as a little tiny child. And he's holding us in his arms because we fully depend on him for everything. Here's what I want you to notice. When the man came, was he, before Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, was he asking for, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me by healing me of my sin? Was the man showing any sign of repentance? Was the man showing any sign of remorse of his sin of ego? No, he was not. You see, Jesus is so eager to give him hope and more than what he asks for. He is aggressive, promiscuous, extravagant, and over the top with his grace. Please write that word. He is over the top with his grace. The man is not asking for anything more than his physical healing. And yet Jesus calls him technon. And he says, I'm going to adopt you into the family of God. And I'm going to give you more hope than what you ask for. Friends, that is an amazing news. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. He is so eager. He will do anything to offer you his grace. So extravagant, so generous, and so prodigal. Third point. When you feel helpless, Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for by sending your friends with faith. Friends of faith. He sends these four men of faith. Once again, the key verse, chapter 2, verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, I wonder whose faith that is. The paralytics or the four men or all five of them. I'll get to that. Jesus says to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Friends, it's all about the faith of the friends, I believe. Okay? Yes, the paralytic had faith in Jesus that he could heal him of the paralysis. But listen to the story. What's working for this paralytic man is the determination of his four friends, right? So they heard the news, Jesus is in town. So these four men, what do? Four friends. They pick up their buddy from their home, from his home. And they walked a mile, 2 miles, I don't know. But they were determined to walk all the way from the man's house to where Jesus was staying. And when they got there, what happened? Because of the crowd, the house was full of people. Even outside, people lined up and they couldn't get to Jesus for their friend. And I wonder at this point if the paralytic gave up his hope of being healed. But not the friends. What do? They take the man, the paralytic, up on the roof and they start tearing the shingles of the roof. And they dig a hole through the insulation and the drywall and the ceiling. And I imagine Jesus in the living room looking at the ceiling going, and he waits. And they lower the mat on which the man was lying. emphasizing the relationship between the mat and the paralytic. It doesn't say they lower the man who was lying on the mat. It does say, however, they lower the mat on which the man was lying. So you see, this man was defined by his mat. They were so determined that they're going to bring the paralytic friend before Jesus because they believe that Christ could heal their friend. You see, Jesus sends you and me friends with faith. When our faith is weak, when our faith is faltering, when our faith is diminishing, Jesus doesn't just stand and say, poor Victor. No, he sends friends who may have a more robust faith in Christ, and by whose faith I may be brought to Jesus. I may be healed by Jesus. I may receive hope from Jesus. Three applications right there. Number one, following the worship service online campus here, okay? Please go to one of the community hubs. I wonder if there is anyone whose faith is faltering, whose faith is being sniffed out. And maybe God is calling you to minister to that friend or that person. Your faith today may be more robust than their faith. And God is saying, I'm going to give that person my hope and more than what they ask for through your faith in me. Another application. As I referred to you last week, the ding-dong dash, you bring a meal to someone who might appreciate the meal. You push the bell, ding dong, and then here you go, and then you dash away. Okay. Now, to be clear, let the person know that you're coming, and let the person know what you're bringing, and let the person know what time you're going to bring the meal. So down the street from where we live, there's a family who is in need. And my wife said, honey, I think it'd be really good if you did the ding dong dash for our friends, our neighbors. So I called him up. Don't make dinner tonight. I'm going to bring pizza for you and your family. Ding dong dash. They received it. They loved it. And they said, I feel, I experience someone cares. Okay? Maybe we were sent by Jesus to that household to increase their faith in and their hope in Jesus Christ. And here's a third application, really, really cool. At the end of the, towards the end of the service this morning, you will hear really important messages, announcements about coming Good Friday service and Easter Sunday next week. We are providing for you what we call Easter Sunday kit. It contains the Christ candle. It contains crackers and juice for communion. It contains the purple blanket symbolizing the Good Friday. So on Good Friday, we're gonna light the candle, and together at a Zoom room, we're gonna snuff that out on Good Friday service, hoping, remembering, and believing, and waiting, and anticipating that on Easter Sunday, we get to relight the Christ candle. The light of Christ is rekindled because Jesus is rose from the dead. I believe the Good Friday service and Easter Sunday service will bring about hope more than what people are asking for. So please come to East Campus, and I will give you more information during the announcement later on. But why don't you pick up an extra kit for someone else, for your friend, for your neighbor, someone that you may feel they need hope today. And Jesus can bring more hope than what they can ask for. So please stick around until the end of the service to hear these important announcements. But let me come to the conclusion. How is Jesus able to give you more hope than you can ask for? Because Mark answers the question, Jesus Christ is God. In the book of Mark, Mark is concerned about just one thing only. Who is this man? And he answers his own question by saying, he is God. And he gives clues. When you feel helpless, Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for because Christ is God. Verse 2, Mark writes, Jesus preached the word to them. He doesn't say Jesus Christ preached the message. He doesn't say Jesus Christ preached the sermon. He says what? He preached the word. That English word, the word in Greek language is logos. Now, he could have used different kinds of words, but he chose that particular specific Greek word, logos, because logos in the Bible means sayings of God. These are divine words of God. He's not talking about prophet saying words of God. He's saying the actual words of God. The Apostle John picks up on Mark, because John borrowed from Mark's resources, and John writes, in the beginning was the logos, the word of God. And the logos, the word of God, was with God, and the word of God was God. What's he saying? Jesus Christ is the essence of logos, the sayings of God. He is God. He's not some prophet. He is the Lord himself. And then Jesus slams it in verse 10 to 12. I want you to know that the Son of Man himself has authority on earth to forgive sins, because he heard the murmuring of the teachers of the law. When Christ said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, they were upset, they were furious, they were mad, because who can forgive sins but God alone? This was blasphemy. We got to stone this crazy man, Jesus. You see, Jesus wants you to know, by saying, I have the authority to forgive sins on earth, he is making himself equal, same with God. And that's Mark's point. One more. Let's go on. Jesus asked this question. Which is easier, to say to the man, get up and pick up your mat and go, walk, or to say, your sins are forgiven? Okay? Now, in Greek, the word to say is synonymous with the word do. So you could retranslate the word by using the word do. Say, which is easier to do? To say to the man, get up and walk, or to forgive his sins? I believe what Jesus is saying is this. I love you, the paralytic, technon. And I am going to heal you. But more important, I'm going to give you more than what you ask for. And I'm going to forgive your sins. So that in order for me to forgive your sins, I have to be God. And so that you may know I am God, I'm going to perform this miracle of healing the man. Do you see that? Okay. In the words of one commentary, Jesus knows the only way he will ever going to make the legs of that man mobile is if his own legs are nailed immobile to the cross. You see, Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to forgive our sins. And then therefore he must pay the price. Jesus Christ, write this word, he forgives your sin by becoming sin himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote that word, Christ just didn't take our sin away. He didn't just put our sins upon himself. He actually became he became sin itself. I think this is what he means. He's saying to me, as if, Victor, I'm going to take every virus from your soul, and I'm going to put those virus in me. I'm not taking just 10% of them. I'm taking 100% of your virus out of your body and soul and spirit. And he's saying this to everyone in the world, because the sin of virus affects 6 billion people, and the sin of virus has 100% fatality rate. And everyone who's affected by this virus of ego is doomed. And Christ says, I'm going to take everyone's virus, 100% from each person, And I'm going to put all that poison, that virus in me, as if I become full of that deadliest virus itself. He becomes sin itself to save the entire population of the world. I pray this way. Jesus heals you from the virus by taking it upon himself. Friends, it's the Lent season. We are so thankful to Jesus Christ for his sacrifice. And he cost him his life. And that is why he is worthy of your worship, your praise, and of your trust. He has done all this for us, even before we asked him. When you feel helpless, Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for. Would you pray with me? Let's pray together. I want to pray for my friends in this room, joining via online. I want to pray for you first. What do you need the most today? What are you hoping for most today? Is it financial? Is it emotional? Is it physical healing? Is it material needs? Yes, Jesus knows all of that. But more than that, he knows that your greatest need is to be made a technon of God through his grace. Friends, trust Jesus. Come to him. Remember, put things in a right perspective. Life is hard right now. He knows that. And he says, be honest, Victor. But put a right perspective. You are saved by his grace from the eternal condemnation. So when you have that perspective, things are hard, but they will not consume you because Jesus gives you more hope than what you ask for. And now I want to pray for those of you who needs this vaccine, this healing of Jesus for your spiritual salvation. Just say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I need you. I recognize that. And I heard for the first time how extravagant, over the top, your grace is for me. I recognize that you took my sins away. And therefore, I am willing and ready to follow you as my Lord and my Savior. I am willing and ready to put my trust in you from this moment on. I want to live for you. Yes, Father, in the name of Christ, help us, all of us, to live as your technon, a child of God who fully depend on your grace and your hope. And now, as we sing the song of response, O Lord, Jesus is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. My Savior, you can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, Jesus, you rose and conquered the grave. You conquer the grave. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, let's respond to God's rich grace by singing this song, Mighty to Save. And I'll come back after the song is over.